Best known today for his solo work in the mid-1970s, and is one of the original members of the band Humble Pie. Both he and David Bowie were pupils at Bromley Technical School. Peter and David would spend time together at lunch break playing Buddy Holly songs. When Frampton was 19 years old, he joined with Steve Marriott of the Small Faces to form Humble Pie. While playing with Humble Pie, Frampton also did session recordings with other artists including Harry Nilsson, Jim Price, Jerry Lee Lewis, and George Harrison's solo on All Things Must Pass. This session was where he was introduced to the talk box that has become such a trademark guitar sound for Frampton. After 5 albums with Humble Pie, Frampton left and went solo in 1971. Frampton's breakthrough was with the live album Frampton Comes Alive from 1976.
Thank you. Need the data.
Little River Band is an Australian rock band formed in Melbourne, Australia in 1975 and named after a road sign for the Victorian township Little River near Geelong. They were the first Australian rock group to enjoy sustained commercial success in the United States. During their career, the band have sold more than 25 million records and scored 13 American Top 40 hits. The band's original members were Glenn Schrock, Graham Goble, Steve Birtle, Rick Famosa, Rich McLaughlin, and Derek Celestine. Reacting to a very successful Australian hit single, Curiosity Killed the Cat, the band began making promotional visits to the United States in 1976. Due in part to a lukewarm reception in the UK music market, this resulted in a hit single, It's a Long Way There, which broke into the top 40 in the U.S. Moldar was born Maria Grazia Rosa Domenico D'Amato. Is a root folk singer best known for her song Midnight at the Oasis. Originally billed as Maria D'Amato, she performed in the early 1960s in Greenwich Village with Bob Dylan, John Sebastian, David Grisman, and Stephen Grossman. In 1974, she hit it big with the sultry evocative Midnight at the Oasis, which reached number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100. In the late 1970s, she was a member of the Jerry Garcia Band as a backing vocalist. The song's lyrics do have one major gaffe. The lyric, "Cactus is our friend," is used several times during the song. Cacti are New World plants native to North America and South America and the West Indies. They are not found in the Arabian Peninsula.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed. Shadows painting our face. Romance in our heads. Heaven's holding a half moon, shining just for us. Let's slip off to a sand dune real soon. Kick up a little dust.
You won't need no camel, no, no.
Child in the City is a rock song about runaways. It was recorded by Nick Gilder. After seeing young girls on the Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard, it inspired Gilder to write this song, and he explained, there are a lot of young people around, meaning downtown Los Angeles, and finding out all about themselves, and so it's with reflection that I think of youthful angst and the passion that you feel when you are young to find out what it is all about in the world. Hot Child in the City went to number one both in Canada in October of 78 and the United States of the same year. It took 21 weeks, however, to get to that position, making it the first song in pop history to take that long to get to that position. Gilder won 2 Juno Awards in Canada and a People's Choice Award in the U.S. Gilder has successfully produced as a songwriter for artists such as Patti Smith, Bette Midler, Joe Cocker, and Pat Benatar. WRFR 93.3 Rockland, 99.3 Camden. Dusty Springfield was a popular English singer whose career spanned 4 decades. She achieved her most notable success during the 1960s. Born Mary Isabel Catherine Bernadette O'Brien, she was given the name Dusty, partly because she was a bit of a tomboy in her early years. In 1960, she joined her brother Dion O'Brien and Tim Fields who were a double act under the name of the Keniston Squares to form the Springfields. Mary took the name Dusty Springfield after forming the group. Despite the problem with its production, the album Dusty in Memphis is considered Springfield's definitive work. The album is best known for Son of a Preacher Man, which was a hit in both the United Kingdom and the United States. Son of a Preacher Man also encapsulates some of the ironies of Springfield's career and how she perceived herself in comparison with other artists. It had initially been offered to and turned down by Aretha Franklin, who later recorded the song, and Springfield herself felt that Franklin's version was superior, especially Franklin's phrasing of the chorus. She thereafter always performed the song with the phrasing exactly as Franklin had used. Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, under the abbreviated title Dock of the Bay, at the houseboat on Waldo Pier in Sausalito, California. He had come off his famed performance at the Monterey Pop Festival just days earlier in June of 67. When Otis recorded this, he did not have a last verse written, so he whistled it. He planned to return to Memphis and fill in the verse after performing in Madison, Wisconsin, but he died before he had a chance. When Steve Cropper, who often helped with music and lyrics, produced the song, he left the whistling in, and it fit the mood of the song perfectly. Sitting on the Dock of the Bay was recorded only 3 days prior to Britting's death. It was released the next month and became his first number one and first $1 million seller. The fact that Sitting on the Dock of the Bay ultimately became Redding's greatest commercial success was unexpected, not only because it was released after his death, but also because the song is actually a significant stylistic departure from the bulk of his other work. Redding recorded this with Booker T and the MGs, the house band of Stax Records. They played with all the major Stax artists, including Walter Pickett, Sam and Dave, and Albert King, and had a hit of their own with Green Onion in 1962.
In the morning sun, I'll be sitting in the evening sun, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away.
Personnel changes, which reflected in their musical chart rating. The group managed to return to success on the music charts in the early 70s with a distinctly symphonic rock sound, often backed by symphony orchestras. At this, they were one of the first groups to achieve success. The album Procol Harum Live with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra was a number 5 gold album in the U.S. in 1972, as well as reaching number 48 in Britain. From this, a dynamic performance of Conquistador, a song from their first album, Procol Harum, was a hit single, getting to number 16 in the U.S. with considerable additional FM radio airplay, while reaching number 22 in the United Kingdom. Band's name was chosen by its original manager, Guy Stevens, after the name of the original member Keith Reed's cat, and it is almost the Latin translation for Beyond These Things. So the correct Latin translation of Beyond These Things is Procol Harum.
Your stallion stand in need of company.
Outlaw the Devil's lyrics were inspired by The Master and Margarita, a book by Mikhail Bulgakov. British singer Marianne Faithfull was Mick Jagger's girlfriend at the time. She gave him the book. Faithfull came from an upper-class background and exposed Jagger to a lot of new ideas. In the book, the devil is a sophisticated socialite, a man of wealth and taste. Some of the historical references mentioned in this song are the crucifixion of Christ, the Kennedy assassination, the 100-year war, fought for 10 decades, and the Holocaust, and the furnace of Stank. The troubadours who got killed before they reached Bombay refers to the hippies who traveled the hippie trail by road. Many of them were killed and ripped off by drug peddlers in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Those shady deals were probably the traps. In mentioning of the war of religions, I watched the glee while your kings and queens fought for 10 decades for the gods they made. The Russian Revolution in 1917, I stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was time for a change. Kill the Tsar and his ministers, while also making a reference to the purported survival of Anastasia. Anastasia screamed in vain. And World War II, I rode a tank, held a general's rank, blitzkrieg raged and bodies stank. The ooh-ooh chorus was added when Richard's girlfriend, Anita Pallenberg, who did it during that tape, and the Stones producer, Jimmy Miller, liked how it sounded. Miller started going woo-hoo in the control room. Anita did as well. He had an engineer set up a mic so that they could go out into the studio and do woo-woo. Contrary to popular belief, Sympathy for the Devil was not the song the Stones were performing while Meredith Hunter was killed at the Alawada Creek concert. The Stones were played Under My Thumb when the stabbing occurred. They did not perform Sympathy for the Devil, however, 7 years after the incident due to public outcry.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul and faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his face. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was the time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. When the blitzkrieg raged and the bodies sank. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my
Initially in 1968 in Los Angeles, California, by the brothers Pat Vasquez and Lolly Vasquez. The name Redbone itself is a joking reference to a Cajun term for a mixed-race person, the band members being of mixed-blood ancestry. The band referenced Cajun and New Orleans culture many times in their lyrics and performing style. Pat and Lolly adopted the stage surnames Baker prior to the formation of the Redbone Band, in part to downplay the Latin association of their birth surname Vasquez. Redbone played primarily rock music with rhythm and blues, Cajun jazz, tribal and Latin roots. Redbone had their first commercial success with the single Maggie from their second album Potlatch in 1970, and had two other single hits, The Witch Queen of New Orleans in 1971 and Come and Get Your Love in 1974. If you have a favorite song from the 60s or 70s that you would like to have played, please feel free to write. My email is fandomtracks@gmail.com. Also, I'm always hungry for songs and band info, so if you have some really neat facts about a band or about their songs, feel free to send it along. Thanks for listening.
Green tambourine.